Appendix. The first two letters were addressed by the dairyman's daughter to her father. I, of course, omit those passages which are strictly personal and private. Letter 1. To Mr. Joseph Walbridge, Southampton, February 23, 1797. My dear and honored father. And now, my dear father, I do not know what to say to change the scene. I suppose you were a little alarmed the other day when the fleet of colliers came in and they were taken for French. It was reported here that they were landed at several places, and we should have soon been over in the island for shelter from them, as if by that means we could flee from the wrath to come, or stay the hand of an almighty and justly avenging God, who for the sins of mankind has sent his judgments abroad in the earth. And now, even now, we are ready to say to that God, who hath so long withheld the sword of vengeance from destroying us, and still extends his everlasting arms of mercy to save us, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of him. But I hope, my dear father, that the Lord will have mercy on us, and bring us out of that gross darkness into his marvelous light, and set our feet on that rock that is higher than we are. But we are informed by the word of God that if we would have all these blessings bestowed on us, we must fix all our hopes and our faith on the blessed Lamb of God that was slain to redeem the fallen children of Adam. For as in Adam all die, so shall all true believers in Christ be made alive to God. And then, my dear Father, we may say, prisoners of hope, lift up your heads. The day of liberty draws near. Jesus, who on the serpent treads, shall soon in your behalf appear. The Lord will to his temple come. Prepare your hearts to make him room. My dear Father, I hope that God will not suffer sickness or death ever to surprise us unawares, or find us in a state unprepared. Please give my duty to my dear and tender mother, and accept the same yourself and love to dear brothers and sisters, and may the blessed Spirit of God be very powerful in all your hearts to root out every evil. Letter 2, Southampton, April 11, 1797. My dear Father, I have been silent longer than I should. Had my dear sister written before, but as I know all things are guided and governed by him whom my soul loveth, I wait patiently his appointed time. O, my dear Father, it is good to trust in him, to call upon him, to honor his holy name. O, if you have not tasted how good and gracious the Lord is, then turn and seek him while he may be found. None ever sought his glorious face in vain. And those that come unto me, saith the dear Lamb of God, I will in no wise cast out. No, his tender love, pity, and compassion never fail to poor sinners. No, though my dear mother and father have lived to near the time that my God hath said shall be the age of men, and ye have still been sinning and grieving and hiding, as it were, your faces from that God who is still pursuing you with his love and mercy. Yea, even the blessed Jesus, who is still making intercession for sinners at his Father's right hand. When justice bared the sword to cut the fig tree down, the pity of my Lord cried, "Let it still alone." The Father mild inclined his ear, and spared us yet another year. But remember, my dear friends, his blessed words, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, and except ye are born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, and if ye are not washed in the precious blood of that dear Lamb of God, you can have no part with him, and if his spirit does not bear witness with your spirit that you are born of God, you are still in your sins, and strangers to the blood that bought you on the tree. O, my daily prayer to God is that he will turn you, and so shall you be turned. O, the dear Redeemer still waits to be gracious. He is ever ready to pardon your sins and seal it with his precious blood. He is ever calling, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with the burden of your sins, and I will give you rest." Then I entreat you, my dear friends, in the name of the Most High God, that ye turn and lay hold of the ever-blessed Jesus as your shield of faith, and he will arm you with the whole armor of God. But remember this, though God is full of love and mercy, yet he will be sought unto. Then draw nigh unto God in secret prayer, and God will draw nigh unto your precious souls, and that to bless them, and will say unto you, "Believe on me, my grace is sufficient for you. I will cleanse you in my precious blood, and then shall your leprosy be healed, and you shall return without spot." And then you must watch and pray to him continually to keep you clean. Oh, he is always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and more ready to give than we to ask. Remember, my dear Father, that the language of every prayerless and unconverted soul is, "Depart from me, O God, for we desire not the knowledge of the Most High." Then put off the evil day no longer, lest you should hear him say, "Who is willing and able to save to the uttermost those that come unto him? I've stretched out my hand all the day long, and no man regarded. And behold, I knock at the door of every man's heart, and to him that openeth unto me, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me." My dear Father, those are blessed and comfortable words, and I am his living witness, and I set to my seal that Jesus is true. Oh, the happy state of the children of God! Now I ask and receive, I seek and I find him whom my soul loveth. Yea, I always find I have a very near access, through his blessed intercession, to supplicate the throne of grace. And now I can say, before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. And now I am so filled up with the peace and love of God that I can lift up my soul and say, "My God, I know, I feel thee mine, and will not quit my claim, till all I have is lost in thine, and all renewed I am." And where'er I am, where'er I move, I meet the object of my love. The Lord doth so strengthen my faith in him, that I find all his promises stand engaged to make me blessed. Oh, may God pardon what this poor unworthy dust has written, through ignorance, which is not agreeable to his most blessed will, which I will ever seek to fulfill. I have so little taste for the conversation of this world, that it is very unpleasant to think on it. My sister's love and duty to all. Mrs. B. will be in the island soon, please God, and then you are to write to her. Desire my brother to write too, and direct her to the house of God in Bath, for she is still walking in darkness and is ignorant of it. Oh, may the Lord be graciously pleased to bring you all into his marvelous light, that you may praise him in time and eternity. Then strive to enter in at the strait gate. If the Lord shall please to spare me, I hope to see you ere long, if not in this world, in that where we shall bask in unutterable bliss. My dear friends, take not this advice amiss from your unworthy child. It is the command of my blessed Lord, when thou art converted, remember thy brethren. And I daily take up my cross and follow him whithersoever he goeth, and I pray God enable you to do the same. Oh, how should I rejoice and praise my God, to see you enabled through the inspiration of the Spirit of the Most High to answer this ill-written letter. Farewell in the Lord, dear friends. The third letter is to her sister. Letter 3. Cowes, October 14, 1798. My dear sister, I have not had a convenient opportunity to write till now. I hope you have not been unhappy at my long silence. Consider that God is my keeper. Therefore I shall lack no manner of thing that is good. I entreat you to commend the keeping of your soul, spirit, and body to the Lord, for he is a promise-making and a true and faithful promise-keeping God. Then let me commend my Savior to you, the publican's friend and advocate too. My dear, I say that God is my keeper. You will say he is yours. It is true, for in him we all live and move and have our being. But I can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he is now pleading his merits in death, and still interceding for sinners beneath. And he is waiting to be gracious to you, for he is long-suffering and kind, pleasant in goodness, plenteous in goodness. His love and mercy know no end or bounds, and his compassions fail not. Now, my dear, ready to you the angels wait to triumph in their blessed estate. Tuning their harps, they long to praise the wonders of redeeming grace. O my dear sister, search the scriptures diligently. Pray to God earnestly, for in so doing you will find that he is a God nigh at hand and not afar off. He has promised to be found of those that seek him, for none ever sought his face in vain, neither did any ever trust in him and was deceived. O my dear sister, if you did but believe how willing God is to reveal his Son in your heart, the hope of glory. O how would your soul be ravished if Christ would appear to you the altogether lovely and the first among 10,000. Then could you say those blessed words, my soul, through my Redeemer's love, saved from the second death I feel, my eyes from tears of darkness, of dark despair, my feet from falling into hell. Wherefore my feet to him shall run, my eyes on his perfections gaze, my soul shall live for God alone, and all within me shout his praise. I entreat you to read the word of God carefully, for in it is eternal life. All the promises there stand engaged to make you blessed, if you truly repent and forsake your sins, and turn to God with full purpose of heart, and fully believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you from your sins with a present and everlasting salvation. For he says, only believe, and thou shalt be saved. We should receive the word of God as if it was the awful voice of God from heaven. It will be awful to the wicked and unconverted. Oh, may the Lord quicken your dead soul with life divine, and make you in his image shine. Oh, may you feel the kindlings of love divine shed abroad in your heart. Farewell in the Lord, my dear sister. The following little narrative seems to have been intended for her own private use. It is apparently left unfinished. November 30, 1800. Elizabeth Walbridge, born July 29, 1770. I feel my mind more composed when writing and more free from wandering thoughts than at other times, for I have little retirement, and when I have, it is seldom free from disturbances, so that I am almost continually conversant with the world. The Lord knoweth what a burden it is to my mind, and how impatient I have been. May the Lord pardon his unfaithful, unprofitable servant, and sanctify me throughout, soul, spirit, and body, and plunge me in the Godhead's deepest sea, that I may be lost in his immensity. O glorious hope of perfect love, may it ever fill and lift my ravished spirit up to things above. There I shall forever love. I thought I would just sit down as the Lord is pleased to give me time and strength, a few of his particular mercies and favors as I can recollect. He has abounded in love and mercy to me. Oh, that I had made him all the returns that love can make, by giving myself a sacrifice daily unto him. But now I have to lament my shortcomings, and to apply to the blood of sprinkling which speaks my sins forgiven, and purifies my soul and makes it meet for heaven. Oh, what a precious Savior have I found! Oh, that I could make him known to all mankind, that all may turn and taste the riches of his grace. At present I am so very weak in body and mind that I can recollect but very little. It has been decaying near 4 years, but in the Lord Jehovah is my everlasting strength, and whoever relies on him shall never be ashamed and shall be freed from all slavish fears. I seemed to have some fear of God and love to him from my childhood. His restraining grace kept me from falling into great and open sin, and gave me such a love to truth and uprightness that I seemed to hate every false way, word, and work in myself and others. I remember when I went to school, one of my playmates that I was very fond of used to take every opportunity to get money from her mother unknown to her and bring to school and buy all kinds of toys and then freely give me and another or two an equal share herself. But oh, how did the Spirit of the Lord strive with me at that time and convince me of the evil, so that I had no peace of mind whilst I partook of the sin, and yet I had not strength to resist it. It was so on my mind that I ought to make her fault known, not to conceal it and partake of part. I could see it a great evil in the person that sold her the things, whose daughter took part, and I believe knew as well as I did how she came by it. But I never revealed it, though I always bore it on my mind with abhorrence. What a sad thing to yield to sin against such clear convictions. I was very early taught a form of prayer, which I continued to repeat in a careless manner when I was laid down in bed, but very often I fell asleep before I said them half. But blessed be God, he still spared me, and often drew me to himself by the cords of love. For at an early age he drew me to secret prayer, where I often felt the kindlings of his love, but had none to set me forward, so that I often neglected this duty. But when alone I have often felt great sweetness in it. I believe if I had heard the gospel preached, I should have been very devoted to that God I now love and adore. But I do not yet love him as he has promised I shall, with all my loving heart, when sin is all destroyed. Oh, happy moment! How I long for it! The last document is her will. My dear father and mother and brothers, if it should please the Lord to spare you all till after my decease, I take this opportunity to set down what I simply desire, if it be the Lord's will and agreeable to you all. If I die under this roof, it will be best, as soon as I am dead, to have my coffin made. Let Mr. Blank make it, if it is quite agreeable, and then I can be carried downstairs not to disturb you or break your rest. And there the angels of my covenant-making and promise-keeping God will watch over me and protect my sleeping dust, so that you need not fear any evil spirit, for they will have done with me forever. They will never assault me any more. I shall then, through Christ who hath loved me with an everlasting love, gain the glorious victory over all the principalities and powers of darkness. For they know that I am a redeemed captive from their power, though they cease not to tempt me to return to my former customs, that I may be again in bondage to fear. But glory be given to God, His grace is sufficient for me. Hitherto He hath brought me safe through, and I know He will save to the end. May I lift up my heart to Him, and cry, O thou fairer than the sons of men, do not let me turn again. Let my coffin be very plain, neat, and strong, made to cover very close. Let it be made white inside and out, if no trouble, and for my shroud a little wool will do, if you like it. It will be less expense, for it will all turn to dust. I care not whom you ask to my funeral. I want no form of young people. I had rather have those that love God, that they may rejoice over me with angels above and praise a God of love. She then names several friends whom she desired to be present and proceeds. Let them all meet together that can or will come. And I trust they will feel the Lord powerfully present in the midst, to bless every waiting soul, and to reveal the secrets of His love. Mr. Richmond, or the minister of New Church, which you please, I love them both because they love God, for God is love, and His love constrains us to love one another. Do not be afraid of disturbing the peaceful dead in singing praises to God and the Lamb, who hath redeemed me from sin. It may be my happy spirit may be permitted to join with listening angels who catch the approving sound, while all heaven's host cry, A child is born into our world above. Let these hymns be sung. The 37th, Hosanna to Jesus on high. The 35th, 'Tis finished, 'tis done. The 23rd, Ah, lovely appearance of death. The 50th, In the large book, hark, a voice divides the sky. If the preacher please, for the glory of God and the good of the living, let him preach a sermon from Psalm 116, Verse 15, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, and may the word be attended with power, a divine energy, and the quickening influence of the Spirit of God rest upon the ministers and the hearers, that glory may be given to God and great good done in His precious name, that His saints who love Him may be strengthened and then refreshed and built up in their most holy faith, that they may go on in their way rejoicing in the strength of the Lord, from grace to grace till glory end what grace began, that they may be fully prepared to meet death with Christian courage. May all my dear friends follow on to know the Lord, and experimentally to feel the saving power of divine grace in each of their hearts, that they may give glory to God and triumphantly quit the stage of mortality, shouting victory through the blood of the Lamb, who now is ascended on high forever to reign. But I would have all to remember, if they have never yet been convinced of their lost and miserable state by nature, that it is high time for them to awake out of sleep, and cry mightily to God to show them their danger and save them from destruction. for without faith and prayer you cannot be saved. Then come like the humble publican, with a feeling sense of your sins and true faith in his merits, to atone for your sins and cleanse your guilty souls, and you will be sure to find mercy, pardon, and peace and grace to help you in every time of need. When I was brought home, I was in great hopes I should see a great change, but I have been painfully disappointed to the present moment, which often fills my heart with grief and sorrow to see sinners so unconcerned upon the brink of death. But if I am never permitted to see that happy change, I hope you will experience it and meet me in glory. There we shall part no more. The remainder is occupied with the distribution of our little property, consisting almost entirely of wearing apparel among her relatives. The following letters addressed to the dairyman's daughter by Mr. Richmond are inserted as characteristic illustrations of the style in which he addressed her. Letter 1. It has pleased God, my Christian sister, for several weeks past to keep me in a state of sickness from which soon, by his goodness, I hope to be relieved. I am at present unable to say half of what I wish to you, but lest you should suspect me of inattention to your friendly and welcome letter, I write these few lines to say that you shall either hear from me at length or see me shortly. May God support you through your trial of ill health, and the nearer you approach the other world, whenever it be God's appointed time, may you be more heavenly minded. Peace be multiplied to you. I pray for you and beg you to know how faithfully I am yours in Christ, L. Richmond. Letter 2. You may be assured upon the faith of one who loves God and would fain serve and obey him, that you are not out of my mind, though I have been prevented from doing myself the pleasure of calling upon you. I have also delayed writing till now from an almost daily expectation of coming your way, but as it has happened otherwise, I now acknowledge the receipt of your last letter, and rejoice at the sight of words dictated by a spirit of godliness, humility, and love. In a perverse and adulterous generation like the present one, what can be so cheering to the soul as to converse with those who really know the Lord, and love him because he hath first loved them? I am well convinced of the propriety and force of your advice with respect to my conduct, and that of the ministers of the gospel in general. God grant such a weak and unprofitable servant as I am may find grace and ability to conduct myself as becomes a faithful laborer in the vineyard. For who can do it of his own strength? What are the natural powers of sinful man to work out the righteousness of God? To the Spirit of Christ, which changeth and strengtheneth the inner man, we must attribute all. To him be honor, glory, and praise in all the churches, now and evermore. I have read your two books, and find much profit in them both. It appears that the life of Madame Guyon should be attended to with some caution, which Mr. Wesley very frequently draws our observation to in his short notes at the bottom of the pages. She was sometimes influenced by notions which had not sufficiently strong scriptural foundation, and therefore in these things should not be as a pattern, but her love of God and her anxiety to be forever joined to him are lovely and interesting. The rule for discerning the motions and operation of the blessed Spirit within us is to compare our feelings with those ways of holiness, happy fruits of the Spirit, which the Apostle describes. Let everything be referred to this as a standard, and we shall never be mistaken. May God so guide and direct you and me to all goodness, that our works may glorify not ourselves, none but Jesus can do that, but our Father which is in heaven. May numbers have reason, through the mercy of God, to bless our memory, and may the seed which in my ministerial capacity I am commissioned to sow, to plant, and to water, receive its due increase from God. I assure you this lies much at my heart, and occupies much of my thoughts. Seeing and knowing the terrors of the Lord, I would persuade men with all truth, earnestness, and sincerity to flee from the wrath to come, and throw themselves and their sins at the foot of the cross, with true repentance and faith. Faith is the hand which we stretch forth to receive the benefits of Christ's blood. It is the soul of the spiritual life, and the grand distinguishing characteristic of the true Christian from the false. It is the touchstone of Christianity, the burning coal which sets fire to the sacrifice on the altar, the sun which enlightens the wilderness of the world, the lantern which guides our feet through the valley of the shadow of death. True faith never can be separated from hope and love. They are three lovely sisters who take up their dwelling in the heart when it becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. Their parent is God, and their offspring righteous works. How do they shine forth in the midst of a vain and wicked world, like a candle set upon a hill in a dark and gloomy night? May their operations spread wider and wider over the face of the world, and may the Church of God increase in their fruits till at length the happy time shall arrive when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of the Lord and His anointed. God hastens so blessed a period. I was much shocked at the sudden death of my neighbor, blank. Such unprepared calls ought to operate upon those that are left behind as salutary warnings. Alive and healthy this morning, who knoweth that this very night our souls shall not be required of us? Let us be on the watch, and endeavor to make others so, for we know neither the day nor the hour of our Master's coming. I am told that his successor has given some strong calls to duty and attentiveness in religion, which I hope in God will prove efficacious. He appears in conversation very much in earnest, and seems steady and persevering, but I have only seen him twice. In that parish you well know how much reformation is wanting. Alas, into what place can we go where it is not wanting? Iniquity triumphs, and presumption darkens the very heavens with her wide-spreading wings. Blasphemy, covetousness, and uncleanness abound and prosper. Men are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does not the world go just as Satan would have it? Sometimes he will even suggest to the faithful that their endeavors are in vain, and he tempts to inactivity and sloth. But blessed be God, the Bible is in our hands. And there we find arguments and strength and consolation and admonition and precept and commandment and encouragement to proceed in the mighty task of beating down the strongholds of iniquity and destroying the works of the devil. Even though the overflowings of ungodliness may make us afraid, God worketh the good cause, and in the end it shall prosper. The church shall never fail, nor shall the gates of hell prevail against it. Your health, I hear, is weak. May God strengthen the inner man, as he thinks fit to weaken the outer. May his kingdom rule in your heart, though the outward fortifications crumble to dust. If it please God to shorten the span of your life, I trust you will meet your Redeemer with peace and joy, and that you will employ the rest of that time which is appointed you on earth in promoting the cause of righteousness, in combating the artifices of Satan, resisting the ways of ungodliness, conversing with God in fervent prayer and holy meditation, contemplating his redeeming love, and hungering after higher and higher degrees of virtue. May the prospect of a heavenly inheritance keep you alive to holiness and gratitude, and in looking upon the world around, remember that the true spirit of the gospel teaches us to love the sinner whilst we hate sin. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied upon you from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe me to be yours with Christian regard, L. Richmond.